Hello, everybody. I'm George from Ireland. Well, just more post-mortem on the Alaska summit in that US Air Force base. So Putin's first visit meeting with Trump for several years since Trump's first presidential term. Moreover, it's the first meeting between the Russian president and the US president since. During Joe Biden's term, he never had any meetings with President Putin is President Putin's first visit to the United States for almost 20 years. So very significant. They should behave so atrociously and still get this. It was staggering and indeed sickening to see Trump applauding him as he's coming down the red carpet. It marks an enormous contrast between that and the tongue lashing that Trump gave to Volodymyr Zelensky, his ally in the Oval Office, with J.D. Vance pouncing him as well, because saying, "You will feel it," as in you will feel a threat from Russia if if Ukraine is finished, they might want to attack you in Alaska, and they were triggered by that. You don't tell us what we'll feel. Whereas Trump was fawning, was super polite, so welcoming to him, beaming from ear to ear. Wow. So that was Putin is his chosen family, his brother by another mother. I suppose he envies and admires Putin. He's been open about saying Putin is at least in charge of his country because Putin can totally rig elections. He doesn't have to worry about an independent judiciary. There is no free media. He can commit crimes on the grossest scale and get away with it. And he could rob his people blind. All the things that Trump fantasizes about doing. I mean, Trump is manifestly the most unsuitable person the Americans could have on Putin's side. It's faintly surprising that Trump hasn't declared war in Ukraine himself. So no laying down the law to him. We were told to expect this summit was going to go on between 6 hours and 7 hours. It ended after 2 hours and 45 minutes. What went wrong? Obviously, the great majority was behind closed doors. They had those sort of press statements. I can't say conference without questions. And obviously, various rumors have leaked out that, unsurprisingly, Putin said, "Well, in order to make peace, you've got to recognize sovereignty over those five regions of Ukraine that Russia illegally occupies." And Russia doesn't even occupy the whole of them, like Lugansk, Donetsk, and so on. The Ukrainians have to retreat and give us them all that we don't even control at the moment. So staggering. And at least even Trump seemed to draw the line at that one. So it failed quite quickly. So far from Trump demanding concessions the other side, it was Putin who was the one, he wasn't the one in the position to demand concessions. Had those been granted, of course, we know that that Putin would not have honored the deal. He never ever does. Of course, he would have reneged on the deal. I mean, just like Trump, who will always break his promises. Remember, he's going to bring peace within 24 hours. Well, ha ha ha. 70 months onwards, and there's absolutely no sign of peace. Trump was going to make medicines far better. He was going to make medicines far cheaper. He was going to defeat ISIS. He was going to defeat the Taliban. He was going to, stop all crime. He was going to end the carnage. And how does he get away with his lies? How is water so thick to trust him, despite him lying to them non-stop? The more he lies, the more they trust him. So you'd have to be staggeringly stupid. You'd have to be as thick as Trump to actually trust Putin. We know he'd not only keep the deal if he has to, if there's a serious force against him, the security force, Ukraine must never join NATO. Well, it looks like they won't be allowed to join NATO anyway, because it'll be vetoed by Slovakia and or Hungary. You need one to veto. It must be neutral. Why? Ukraine is entitled to foreign policy just as Russia is. Ukraine needs allies more than anybody else. So it's always turning it around, always victim blame, playing the victim themselves, the kind of thing that Trump does, actually. So it was sickening to behold. You see the ill preparedness, and this will be the so-called unpredictability doctrine, and that's a way of disguising just incompetence, idiocy, idleness, just not doing your homework, and so on. But we'll be very careful not to irk Trump, because he's such a petulant toddler. He can turn on you, throw the toys out the pram, go right the other way. You never know what's going to happen. And he hasn't followed through with any threats. Putin now has got nothing to worry about. But these are all empty threats. All these deadlines have passed, and Trump's done nothing about it. He's been able to play him like a fiddle because Trump is such a fool, and so on. Great progress. Well, there's absolutely no sign there was progress. Trump claims there's great progress in the meeting next time in Moscow. So Putin said that aloud in English. He very, very seldom speaks English in public. So and that might even happen. Okay. So Trump used to be talking about a ceasefire, not even talking about a ceasefire. The idea is a ceasefire for whatever period of time it could be extended, eventually turn into a permanent peace. We have things like the Korean conflict, where no permanent peace has ever been signed, but has been largely at peace since 1953. And that's about one of the best outcomes that the Ukrainians can realistically hope for. Now, Russia thinks as things are going their way, why would they agree to a ceasefire? Because that will advantage the Ukrainians much more than them. The Ukrainians are exhausted. They're the ones who are heavily outnumbered. They need for the rotations because obviously the troops in the front line, they can't go back for their R&R until the unit replacing them comes forward. They've got double the number and that they can be targeted easily, more to be killed in one place or more on the move to be seen and things like that. So it all took the Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson, as in it's not just the US Air Force, it mainly is, but could be Army, Marines, I don't know if it's by the coast, the Navy and so on. So anyway, there Trump was greeting this indicted war criminal, wow, with great enthusiasm. Now, I realize in a sense you need to be polite to him, you want to get the best out of him, but you don't need to be abasive like that. You do not need to be lauding them. So they obviously hit a brick wall in the negotiations at quite an early stage, which is why it ended rather prematurely. A damp squib, and Trump had built it up so much. He was obviously so desperate for a success. And then Putin thinks, well, then I can get anything out of him because he wants peace at any price. And obviously, not the United States is going to be paying the price. But there's now the talk about land for peace. Even Ukrainians are more or less accepting that, however unjust it is. They're exhausted by the war, said they've been killed. And at any moment, the United States might pull away all military support and then they'd be screwed, or European countries, and eventually things like that. So remember that 100% secondary tariffs. It was going to be on Russia's trade partners for buying that oil and gas. It was much lower, it was at 25% imposed on India. Trump didn't dare do that in China because China's got ways to riposte. The Indians were very nervous about that. That could have had an effect, and Trump hasn't done it. I mean, there is a secondary tariff, but it's not that high. So he's just not followed through. Now, I mean, even if Trump had stopped all trade between Russia and the United States, that's anywhere about $3 billion per year. That's something like 0.2% of Russia's economy. So the effect would be negligible. It wouldn't even be a rounding error. But anyway, Zelensky, at least he had managed to meet Keir Starmer around this time, the British Prime Minister. The United Kingdom has been four square behind him. European leaders have been are very supportive of him recently, and so on. And just to think that Trump gave Zelensky way less time. When they met at the Pope's funeral in April, only 15 minutes and so on. Yeah, Trump, yeah, is always fantastic, always superlatives, but you're overpromising and never delivering. Goodness. So really, there's no end to war in sight. I mean, I think we're hardly any closer than we were before, given Russia's totally unreasonable demands. And that's it. And then un so Trump's all carrot with them, no stick, doing nothing to penalize them economically or to increase military aid to the Ukrainians. That's the thing that really would end the war. Thanks for watching my channel. Please comment. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, then any PayPal, georgecallan7@gmail.com. Goodbye.